Yes, Lord, we're here for you. Oh, beyond words, beyond teachings, beyond times and seasons and schedules, beyond what our little brains can wrap themselves around, even beyond what our hearts can wrap around. We're just here for you. Swallow us up, like Geraldine said. We just go into that big old ocean. We're just a little tiny drop, and we're absorbed into the enormity of your being. Carried away into the fullness of your heart. Carried in a current, oh, so much stronger than all our efforts. All of our love couldn't carry us that deep. It's the love the Son has for his Father that takes us into those realms. Carry us, take us to the Father, Jesus. Holy Spirit, take us to the Son. Father, show us your Son from your heart. Oh, let the Trinity take us in, into themselves, like Sister Nuala shared with us. We need to be liberated from ourselves and find our retreat in the very heart of God. Move by your Spirit in this way to your heart's needs.
Oh. I'm going to share from some scriptures that I think we're all, for the most part, super acquainted with. Maybe not everybody here, but most of us are. Scriptures that I'm sure that we feel we know backwards and forwards. But I'm going to ask that you be open to the Holy Spirit, not to me, but to the Holy Spirit, and just see if he doesn't want to impart not information about those scriptures, not a sense of, well, I already know this, but a sense of the awe of the reality of the person of it. And guess what? That's Jesus. That's the one we all love. That's the one that we're here for. We're here for Jesus. That's our love for Jesus has drawn us here. And so we don't want to waste this. We want to get the Lord out of it. I kind of titled this, Christian or Christ in You? the first scripture that I want to refer to really is sort of not along the lines per se of what I want to share, but just to sort of guide our hearts to a certain place. And it's in 1 John 1:1-3. And if you didn't have your Bible, I always read it anyway. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Okay, so I mean that, come on, my Lord. He immediately, this is the first verse in 1 John, and he immediately says, we don't want to start with us at salvation. We want to start with him from the very beginning, before we were an issue. Mm-hmm. And that's the one we want to know. Isn't that cool? Amen. We want to know something eternal, not just what has happened for us. And so he starts there, and he says that which was from the beginning. So he's viewing, it's like when he walked with Jesus, this is John, one of the 12. Who knows what he thought, you know, like what most of them, he's a good prophet, he's this or that. But now, after years later, he's grown old, and he's also grown mature to think of the Lord beyond himself. And he's saying, you know what? I was one of the 12, and we walked with the Lord, but we walked and we handled and we heard that which was from the beginning. That's what we experienced. It wasn't just a savior or a good teacher or even the Jewish Messiah. It's the beginning. And he calls him the word of life. Not just the word of good teaching or the word of the move of the Spirit or the word, but and he capitalizes here the word because it's a person. And then verse 2, for the life was manifested, the beginning life. The beginning life was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. So he's not talking about eternal life. And we get this mixed up a lot. We think eternal life is, you know, when we die, we'll just go on forever. But eternal life is Jesus. And he's saying, we saw it. We handle it. We heard this eternal life, the word of life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. I mean, he's with the Father, but we got a manifestation of it. You know, that's what he's saying, because we literally saw him here. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that with this purpose, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Okay, so we want to try to make sure that our fellowship isn't just with one another, but that it ultimately is with, we enter into the fellowship that the Father has with the Son and the Son has with the Father, which was from the beginning before us, which is real. More real than us. Yes. More real than this room. More real than a service. More real than it fills all time. And it's not just an event. And we're not here for an event. We're here to truly reach the heart of the Lord outside of ourselves and outside of our circumstances, so that it pleases his heart. And not just that we can say, oh, I was blessed so much. Good. If we get to say that at the end of all of our gatherings, that's wonderful. But we need to have a sense from the Holy Spirit that Jesus is kind of going, man, they fellowship with us, Father, where we were. Wouldn't that be great? And that's my heart's desire. That's my heart's desire. All right, so the scriptures that we're very familiar with that I want to just share a little bit on, starting with Colossians 1:27, and actually we'll start with verse 25. Colossians 1:25. And let's just pray. Father, we want to just pray over just these verses first, just that your Spirit can breathe new life on something that maybe has become old wineskins within us, that we can be affected, that we can sense the vibrations of the Spirit of God breathing not just life out of it, but life into us. So move, Holy Spirit, and do your most sacred ministry. Not tongues or healing, your most sacred ministry, revealing Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister. Okay, so he's going to talk about his ministry, what his real ministry was, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. All right, so he begins in verse 25 talking about his ministry. And I want our ministry to be eternal. I want it to be something beyond just, I don't even know how to put it into words. He first begins to talk about his ministry, and then he talks about the Word. he says, I minister the word. And this is funny because this kind of goes along with 1 John, you know, the word of life. And then verse 6, he talks here about ministering something that was hid, or, as we were familiar, hid because it must be revealed. It must be not just told, talked about, read about by people's books, or heard through people's sermons, but possibly away from sermons and reading books and just with the Lord as He reveals Himself, not to us, but in us, as we shall see. And as we read and we read in the next verse, that mystery is a hope for all men. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a hope that for men or women or children or little babies, or it is a hope. And when, you know, we know, I mean, how many of you have ever felt hopeless? All of us at times. Hopeless. Have you ever said, I'm just hopeless? Or there's no hope for me? Well, there is, but it's not hope for you. Mm-hmm. It's hope that's Christ in you. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking, you know, I'm going to say this now because the title says it. Not Christian, but Christ in you. I'm not offering you hope for your Christianity. And Paul is not offering you hope for your Christianity. It is your hope of glory, and that's Christ in you. It has nothing to do with you other than you're a vessel of this that is from the beginning, that is the greatest gift that we could ever receive, and we take so lightly.
Yes.
Because you know, I'm always reminded at this point of Mary when she was, God had planted His very seed, put His very Son inside of her. Life was in her. God's life was in her, apart from her. And, you know, the messenger said, that holy thing that is in you, call Him Jesus. Don't call Him Christianity. And a whole lot of stuff that we do, we call it Christianity, because we're not letting Christ, we're not allowing, we're not releasing Him to be who He is in us. We're too busy forming and formulating Him in a religious manner that men have taught us. And, you know, and even me teaching, it is, you are in danger of just listening to a man instead of the Holy Spirit. And it's a big danger, whether it's me or anybody. It's a big danger. We have to want Him beyond
agreement.
Yeah. And walls and things. We have to hear someone, and if something is said that sparks something in us, just be always in prayer and immediately say, oh, I want that, Holy Spirit. I need that. Or whatever was said, I don't even comprehend that. But I sense the dove landing on Jesus.
Amen.
And I need that dove not to just land on Jesus, but to go, hey, it's Him in you. The hope, your hope. Mm-hmm. You know? And I know all about being hopeless. I know all about, you know, poor self-image or hating yourself. But I know the cure for thinking too highly of yourself or hating yourself. The only cure is a hope, and that hope is Christ in you. And God the Father is watching these meetings, and He's hoping that we'll get Christ formed in us. And not just, did you have something? Yeah, just, and just not, you know, because, I spoke of a danger, because Paul said, warning everybody. I'm warning you, it's got to be Christ in you. Remember, that's the very next verse that follows it. I'm warning you. You might have heard this before. You might think you know this. But where is my son? Where is the life in you? Why have you become complacent? Why are you dull now when you used to be so thrilled?
Yes.
With reality, and now you're satisfied with the message.
That's right.
No, we can't do that.
Amen.
We cannot do that. We cannot.
No.
And in our hearts, our prayers are warring against that happening, not just in the meetings, but in us.
Yeah.
And if we're not willing to step out of our head into our heart, and our heart step into His heart.
Yes, ma'am.
It's just going to be another meeting and another time. This is only the beginning. So if you're going, well, I don't feel anything yet. Don't worry. I think the Lord's going to keep sharing and loving us.
Amen.
The Father is going to be loving us by Christ.
That's right.
I may be sharing on this for a long time because that's barely... these are my introductory scriptures, but anyway. The way that scripture there is worded, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, not us. Okay, so I thought of it like that first. So Christ in us, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, but not us. Oh, the separation that can happen there.
Amen.
Oh my God. Not us.
Amen.
This sounds good.
Yes.
You know? Unless you're really strong and everything and you look really good and everything's perfect, then you're going, I don't want this because I'm one of the best Pharisees you'll ever know.
Yeah.
But, so I had to take it a little step further. Christ in us, not us as good Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Literally, we may have to give up trying to be good Christians and pursue an increase of Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
Are you at least a little open to that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why? Why would Paul be saying it like this? Why would I be saying it? Because it's our only hope.
It's our only hope. Okay.
Everything else is, you know, it doesn't take away our hope for salvation. It's hope of glory. Of knowing that which was from the beginning instead of that which came and died just for our sins because we had a problem. And we only know Him in that realm. Well, He was beyond that realm. And John, who walked with Jesus, doesn't go, we saw the bearded, sandaled one in robes and he was cool. He was just the best, and you didn't see him, but we did. No, he's not like us. He's not going to take it to himself and make himself something from. He says, this is something that was from the beginning. And when we touched him, we didn't touch Jesus of Nazareth. We touched eternity.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So Lord, right at this point then, we feel the dove trying to come down on Jesus in us.
Yes.
And if we're used to the dove so much of the time, we're used to him coming on us and using us in some ministry at the moment, when right now he's wanting to come down on Jesus so that we see a separation of us and our good Christianity. And we see Him in us, the hope, and the very hope that you're hoping for. Father, I can hear your heart, that you're hoping for Jesus out of us. Thank you. All right, the next verses here is Galatians chapter 1. And there's a lot of similarities in these verses. And if we really could take the time, or if you could take the time outside of these gatherings and just start going through Paul's writings, you'll see that there's a real common theme. And it was of Christ in us, and it was of us being separated from something that has such a hold in our lives and such a influence, a huge influence. It is our influence instead of Christ in us. And he's trying to break that with the people he's talking to. Galatians 1, let's start. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I wrote this little sentence after that. This is not saying that the gospel he got did not come from man, but God revealing salvation to him personally. It is saying that the gospel was God's revelation of the life of the Son in him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Should I read it again?
Yes, please. Yes.
I stumbled a little bit because I think I messed up in my... I got a few words in there that aren't supposed to be in there. This is not saying that the gospel he got did not come from man, which is what it looks like it's saying, which it is, but it's not saying that the forthcoming part here. This is not saying that the gospel he got did not come from man, but God revealed salvation to him personally. It is saying that the gospel was God's revelation of the life of the Son in him. Now we'll read the verses that bear that out, because he just a few verses down, he totally bears that out. All right, so we may say, you know, a lot of what I know as a Christian, I got strictly from God. I was in the scriptures and he revealed Jesus there in the scriptures to me. But this is saying, Paul is saying, the gospel is God revealing his Son in you, not you. Not even making you in the equation, except as we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be God in us, the treasure.
Yes.
That's my new translation. Pretty close. It's pretty close. Sometimes it helps to sort of change it a little bit, and we go, oh. Yeah, because we get so familiar. I get so familiar with scriptures that I look at it, and before I even read it, I already say, you know, I think I know what it's saying. And I rob the Holy Spirit of ever going, hey, I want to show you Christ in you. And we go. And I just felt like this was so very precious that the gospel, even if it was taught of man and it was about Christ in you, can never touch God revealing that it is Christ, the life of you. Can never touch that. Mm-hmm. Nobody can do that.
No.
But we even, you know, we make it about, again, Christianity or whatever. Again, Mary, the mother of Jesus. You have received Jesus in your heart, and Mary, you're saved. No. She literally brings forth the life into the earth. Bam! There he is. Not her. Oh my Lord. God separate us from our mother's womb.
Amen.
All right. Well, that's the next verses I want to read. Verse 15 and 16. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. All right, several things here. First of all, this is something that pleases God to reveal his son in us.
Praise God.
So, is God happy if we complacently say, I've got Jesus in me? I know that because he shared that reality with me a long time ago, and I'll never forget it, though the life of it is gone,
right,
and the spark of it
that's
no
right
longer affects me, and I'm no longer really conscious of it being Christ, and it must be Christ, not me. I know from something shared a long time ago that he's in there somewhere.
That's right.
And so I'm spiritual and special. Instead of going, oh my God, right now, today, it must be Christ in me. I need it so real that when I reach forth my hand, I say, that's my hand. And that's me reaching forth instead of him, life and the kind of life that he is. Because that Christ in us, as we shall see in these verses also, is a certain kind of life, which is nothing like us. And so what we've done is, since many have not known him, we have formulated this thing called Christianity, and it runs along Christian lines instead of him. Him. Not I, but Christ. Paul said, not I. You know. Well, Paul's in this situation. He goes, not I, but Christ. Father, let the Spirit of God bring forth Jesus. I don't even want to reach forth my hand. I do not want to open my mouth. I don't want to say anything or do anything. I want Jesus there. Okay, is Jesus in all of us if we're born again? Yes. But he's not always living out of us as life.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with some is that we know too much Bible truths, and we don't know the way and the truth and the life.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, I like the way that Paul says this. But I certify to you. Look, this is no regular teaching I'm doing. This is Paul talking. This is no regular teaching I'm doing. This is a certified copy from God. So, you know, I'm the messenger, but this is a certified message, literally from him to you. I certify you, brethren. He's not talking to, you know, sinners. You need Christ in you. He's talking to Christians. You need Christ formed in you. You got your veil in birth.
Amen.
Church.
Veil.
Until Christ is formed. He's in there, but he's an unformed thing right now. You know, I have Jesus in me. Yeah, he's a fetus. You know? Like, we don't know this baby, what color eyes, what all the different things that can be there, because it's not fully formed yet.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like, well, I want, you know, I'm sure eventually you're going to really want that baby to manifest. You know, you're not going to want it to just stay in there all, you know, when you're 9 months pregnant, you go, oh, when am I going to have this thing, you know? It's like, I want it to manifest out of me. And I want to be able to start truly relating. I want to kiss this baby. I want it to feel my touch and my warmth. Well, that's just a shadow. That's just a shadow. How about Jesus? I want to kiss him. I want to feel his warmth. I want him to feel mine. I want this to be something so far beyond my Christian experience. And we're not asking for another Christian experience. We're asking for the Father by the Spirit to reveal his Son in us, and then he began to come out of us, manifesting forth life to others. And the gospel that was preached to me is not after man, because it's another life form altogether. It was from the beginning, before our life form came.
That's right.
So this has nothing to do with man. And yes, no man could put this in me, because it's not after man. It's not man's seed, it's God's seed. And of course, we're not God, we're just earthen vessels. But it is Christ placed in earthen vessels. Treasure. You know, and we say, well, I treasure Jesus so much. And what do we mean when we say that? Usually we're thinking about our salvation at the time he healed us, or the many blessings that he's done. But when Paul talked about Christ being the treasure within, he was talking about, well, he goes on to say, well, you know, I was cast down but not forsaken. I went through this trial, but I was with the Lord. I was da 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 da. It was another life. I would have been felt forsaken. I would have been persecuted and upset. I would have, everything that I go through, I'd be going, this is horrible, and you know, this is the devil making me go through this stuff, and you know, get all bitter and unforgiveness, and you know, and then the church is filled with people that are bitter and not forgiving, and so they're teaching on forgiveness up there, and we're going, yes, amen. They look over at brother or sister so and so. I'm going to avoid them when I'm going out of the church. You know, and it's all this ugly fumes rising out of Jesus' body instead of a fragrance of Christ. Well, is there any hope for the church? Christ in us. Yeah. Praise God. I mean, isn't this good news? Yeah. You know, we're saying
salvation.
Yeah, yeah, this is salvation from ourselves and our own flesh. Mm-hmm. And our, as we'll see in the next verse, and our first birth. Salvation from our first birth. Praise God. Alana did the perfect thing. She was listening. And I could see her listening to it. She's shaking her head, and she goes, and she looks down into the scriptures, because she wants to pull that reality out of there and make it part of the juices of life that the Spirit's trying to impart. Yes. And she wanted to pull it from there. I love that. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ. Okay, then the next verse. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and my words here were, there was a separation. Mm-hmm. Not just from his religion, because Paul was a Jew, and the Jewish religion knew God, served God. Didn't have Christ in him. You say, well, Christianity has Christ in it. No, we have Christ in us. Quit calling it Christianity and call it Christ in you. That holy thing that's in you, call it Jesus. The messenger was emphatic. You say, why are you so emphatic? Because other messenger was too. You know? Separated me from my first birth to reveal my new birth in me. Not new birth salvation. The true new birth of Christ coming into us so that there would be a new life formed. A new life form. A new life formed. I love this part where it says, separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So we all read that and we go, yes, I've been called by grace. I'm saved by grace and I'm called by grace. I didn't deserve to be saved. I can't even think of it. I quit thinking that way a long time ago. But listen to it. It's one sentence. There's not a period after that. There's a comma. Called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. He called you, he saved you so he could reveal his son in you, not saved you so you could be saved.
Amen.
How many Christians are walking in this grace?
Amen.
How many are saying, you know, how many are saying, my salvation, I thank God for my salvation, and I do, I do. But let me tell you something, there's something greater to me than my salvation, and that is God's salvation.
Yes.
His name's Jesus, you know. And you know, David got that a lot. He was always talking about God as his salvation, not as his Savior. Does any of the scriptures pop up, you know? He was always doing that. He's talking about his, and you get that from, you know, the Psalms and stuff like that, where he's crying out to the Lord, you know, I'm messed up, these people are doing this, and da da da, you know, and then there it is, cast down but not forsaken, here it comes back. But the Lord is my salvation, not just my Savior from this junk, he's saving me from my whiny spirit. You know, we're like Lazarus still in the tomb. We stink it. Call me by his grace to reveal his son. His son. Okay, that's from the beginning.
That's right.
He could have said to reveal the Savior to you.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not what he's trying to communicate. And so shame on every preacher that twists these slightly, not that they do it intentionally. That's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about we should be faithful to read the Word. And, you know, if somebody's preaching this from the pulpit and they're talking about to reveal the Son and the grace that you're saved and, you know, you're not going to go to hell. Everybody goes, amen. And you look down and you go, you know, that's really not what this is saying. And I would really like to stick with exactly what it's saying here. And this is talking about a grace to reveal his son in me so that it would be not I but Christ. So that it would be Christ formed in me. So that it would be, and here's if the Spirit of God could release it, so it could be his son. No, gosh, how can I really? I can't. This is the Father from the beginning. His son. His son. His very love, his being. He didn't just save us from hell. He didn't just save us. He didn't just forgive us. His son is in us. And now, he said, I'm sending back the Holy Spirit. And he's going to reveal his son in us. Okay, well, we say Jesus is in me. But can you kind of see, I'm trying to, because it says his son. He's trying to reveal his son. That's my son, my beloved son, in whom I love, and I'd like for him to live. And I'd like you to start acting like you're just his body, his vessel, his temple. Let him fill the temple. And you say, well, I have these sections in my being that are religious rooms.
That I've worked on for 20 years.
Yeah, that I've worked on for 20 years. And this is my prayer room where I act real spiritual. And, oh, God, you know, we go off, you know. And well, we're supposed to be the temple, his habitation. And we need to start opening doors.
He's the prayer. He's the one.
He's the fragrance. He's the prayer that rises. He's the altar of incense.
He's the perfect teaching, the doctrine.
That's it.
The first opening.
That's it. He's
not worthy of.
Opening, you know, we need to start opening doors to Jesus. Remember, Jesus said in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock, and he was talking to the church, one of the churches. I'm trying to get in. Oh, we believe in you, Jesus. Because it was a church. We believe in you. Oh, yeah. You know, and we thank you for saving us. Just you stay out there, though, because I'm sort of in charge in here. You know. This is my man cave in here, Jesus. You just, you know, instead of going, it all belongs to you. And not just you up there. You know what I mean? Well, I've got this attitude towards someone, and I am not going to change. Well, don't change. Just let Jesus' attitude fill you.
Amen.
You know?
Hallelujah.
You think about Lazarus, okay? Oh Lord, you know, he stinketh. He's, you know, been in there for 3 days and he smells bad. So Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Okay, so he comes forth. And Jesus says, take off the grave clothes. Why didn't everybody go, no way? I mean, he may be alive, but he still stinks. No. Christ is our fragrance. Christ is the altar of incense that rises to the Father through us. Mm. And he smells that sweet savor of Christ. Doesn't it say that? For we are a sweet savor unto God of Christ.
Yes.
It says that. Well, guess what? See, we keep going. Yes. We are a sweet savor of Christ to God. He loves me because you're Lazarus in the tomb. There's a separation here from your first birth and your new birth. And you keep thinking in terms of your old birth, your first birth, and you live there, and you carry it with you, and it's like the grave clothes, you know, you still got all the old grave clothes. You know, and you go, well, you know, the Lord blessed me with this. And everybody's going, dude, you know, where's Christ?
That's right.
My God. That's right. He really wants his son. He didn't put his son into us so that we could wrap him up in stinky grave clothes. Mm-hmm. He put his son in us. And here's the deal. See, we're always thinking of how that manifests. He put his son in us first and foremost so that that separation from our mother's womb and our first birth would be so clear that we would catch thoughts regularly and captivate them with our new birth instead of allowing our old birth to just bring them forth without consequences. You know? And so we're saying, well, I don't want consequences. God will whip me. He's wanting us to. He says the judgment begins at the house of God. We're the ones. We need to start dealing with this stuff.
That's right.
You know, and that thought comes up. You can't stop that thought from coming up. But you can identify it. You can say that's a first birth thought. And that's not a new birth, which is Christ, right? The new birth is Christ. That's not Christ.
Yeah.
That's not him. So, Father, I can't help that thought coming up. But you know what? I choose your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let this mind be in you.
Yeah.
See? And why would it be said that way? Let this mind be in you. Because we're too busy fighting it off, trying to put forth our first birth mind.
Yes.
And we're not letting it. Father, just help us. This isn't the closing prayer here. Father, help us right now on this point. This is eternal. This is that which was from the beginning. And we keep closing Him off in rooms in our being. And we really have not laid hold of Christ revealed in us in this area. We may have embraced the doctrine, but Father, we want to embrace this the way that Paul's talking about it, where we're separated from our first birth forever, and we let this mind be in us.
Amen.
We take it, and we counter our own thoughts. We judge ourselves, for if we would judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But Father, we're not just judging ourselves, we are aware of the one, the person of the new birth,
yes,
and of Him living in us. And we see the contrast of Him and us, and we choose Him. And if we, because Lord, we can never think the thoughts that He thinks.
Yes.
You didn't say let His thoughts be
yes.
in us.
Amen.
You didn't say let His brain be in us. You said let His mind be. Mm-hmm. And it is, and He thinks those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say, well, you know, we hear Your mind and we hear Your thoughts, beloved, let us love one another. And then we hear our thoughts. Well, they don't deserve to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
We choose Your thoughts. We choose Your mind, and we stand with You,
yes,
who is being revealed in us.
Yes.
And we don't identify with the old.
Yes.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
Okay, so to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him. To reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him. Okay, so again, we read this and we say, God revealed Jesus as my Savior and my Blesser and my Healer, and I preach Jesus as my Savior and my Blesser and my Healer. That's not what He said. He said, separated me from my old life to reveal His Son in me as the life, and that's what the Jesus I preach to everybody. Did everybody catch that? I preach Christ in you, the hope of glory, not just Christ saved me so I don't have to go to hell. It's right there. And it was also in Colossians, whom we preach. That was verse 4, which I didn't get into, but it says Colossians 1:27, I guess it wasn't 4. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. We preach Christ in you, the hope. Here, again, Christ revealed in us,
yes,
whom we preach.
Yes.
This is the Jesus we
yes.
preach.
Yes.
This is what the one we call the gospel.
Yes.
Because this is good news.
Yes.
Folks, just saving us and then turning us loose in heaven, that sounds scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really has. You know, Jesus says, okay, now, when somebody comes up and they take away your favorite cloak, give them your coat also. Okay. So then put all of us up in heaven without Christ formed in us. And somebody's not formed and he sees something you got and comes up and takes it. And then somebody else comes up and takes your coat, your cloak, and then somebody takes your shoes, and then da 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 da. You're going, I hate this place. Because the truth of heaven is the reality of Christ being in His body, us. Right? Oh, well, we'll all be changed in the air, da 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 da. Really? We were changed at the cross where we were crucified with Christ. That's where the change began. And that's just a manifestation of life taking us. See, Jesus never said, well, I'm going to go to heaven now, or I'm getting ready to die and I'm going to go to heaven. He always said, I'm going to the Father. You know, that which was, he said, I'm going back to that which was from the beginning. I'm getting out of here.
Amen.
I want to be with that which was from the beginning.
Amen.
Because this down here is stinky grave clothes.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And the Pharisees said, is he talking about us? Remember that? The Pharisees, they would get it.
They
would get it. Is he calling us stinky grave clothes? And he was.
He said, no, they were offended by what you said.
Yeah. And the disciples were a little, it's disconcerting that you're offending these religious leaders. You know. And, you know, as the prophet said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. It didn't say our worst. It didn't say that the really bad things we think. It said our righteousness. Our very best is filthy rags. Well, what's the hope then? If my best is this, Christ in you.
Yes.
He has made unto us righteousness. And everything else.
That's it. Then his desire is for us to be real, like to have a life, to have hope. But if we start with, oh, we need to get hope, and this, if we go from our desire to have hope and to have, I've been hopeless, now I'm a hope, it still doesn't work. We have to go to the Father's heart and the Son and see his desire, and the Holy Spirit will land on us and go, there's a heart after my heart. And then the joy comes. But if you start after making yourself joyful, which is where I started, you're still after your own desires.
That's right. Yeah. See, that's what I began with, wasn't it? Where even in there when we were praying, Holy Spirit, take our hearts to his heart. Yes. Mm-hmm. So this can be above the earth, above our problems. Yes. And we can meet him there. Yeah. That's exactly what you just said.
Amen.
All right, that I might preach him, and I wrote down here, preach the life of Christ in us as the Christian life. Now, before I was dividing Christ in us from being a Christian. Now I'm saying, whatever Christian is, it is the life of Christ. But let's not call it Christian, let's call it the life of Christ. Okay, so we preach that the life of Christ, I put down, preach the life of Christ as the Christian life. Because it is.
You know. True.
Yes. All right, let's see. So let me read this little part again. There was a separation, not just from his religion, but from his former existence. His mother's womb and everything that happened up until he met Jesus and got knocked off of his donkey. Based upon his former existence, based upon his first birth. This separation, this thing that's not religion, he describes it as the Son revealed in me. Okay, now just picture how powerful that would be in your life from now on. The Son revealed in you. If that was real, now let's just act like there's a real revelation of Christ, and that could, something like that could actually happen. Let's just deceive ourselves as if that could actually happen. No, the scriptures say, I want to reveal my Son. If the Son could be revealed in us, how different would we be if we saw that veil? Because revealed means unveiled. If the veil of the Holy of Holies was finally rent, and we didn't just see God in there. We saw, oh my God, we're the temple. And he's been in here all the time because I got saved a long time ago and I know Jesus was in me, but now I see the Son of the Father's love. That's what Geraldine was just sharing. How different would we be? Well, I would think drastically, you know, in ways that we couldn't even imagine. I mean, every day there would be at least one incident where we would go, oh my God, what I just did or said, that wasn't me. That was Jesus. You know what I mean? It's like, holy moly. That was another life in me. You know? And then imagine if that started permeating the temple. You know, like, that which was behind the veil all of a sudden starts filling the rest of the thing. You remember the in the Old Testament, you know, they would bring in the ark and it would the glory would fill the temple. You remember that?
Yeah.
And so we go to church, we say, oh God, fill this building with your glory. Lord, fill, we wanted to come down and just, no, fill the building. Don't get in us. You know? Don't trespass on certain things in me, but the building, we'll give you the building. That was only a tap and shadow. We're the temple.
Amen.
And he wants to fill us.
Amen. Praise God.
I sure love Jesus, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, isn't there just something in our hearts that just, we know Jesus really is the answer. The problem is we all have to come to the place where we realize we're not the answer. You know, all of a sudden we go, I am not the answer. And at first it's kind of like that. You know, I am not the answer. And then eventually it's, but thank God Jesus is in me and he is the answer. And I'm going to start looking to you now instead of me.
That's right.
All right, verse 23 and 24. This is my first ending. But they had only heard that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Okay. So there's two things here. One is is verse 24. The glory went, I'm going to say it like this, so pardon me. The glory went to a God that was in him, not just a God that was above. That's pretty powerful, really. The glory went to a God, yes, it went to God, but it went to a God that is located in me, not a God that is far away up in heaven. They glorified God in me, not God for me, or, you know, I glorify God for what he did to you. How about I glorify God literally in you? Because that wasn't you.
Yeah.
And they knew it. Yeah, it was pretty evident that a change had happened, and that's going to be the second part that I talk about. But it's, I just think that, you know, I mean, I say this all the time when I'm here anywhere, but I mean, it just is a problem of a mindset of Christianity and not an answer of a mindset of not the first birth, but the new birth that is Christ in us, that still, when we think of glorifying God for something, or something, we see a change in somebody, we see this or that, we don't give God the glory as located in them. We look up spiritually, you know, reverently, religiously, and we say, thank you way up there. Because we have very little comprehension on a daily basis of this is where he lives,
right.
And God wants him to be able to spread out in us. All right, and then just the last part, which is the first part of this verse, verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past, and then I'm going to skip a few words, which once he destroyed. Okay, so the change in Paul was not just Christian.
That's right.
Okay, here's the change. Here's the Christian change. I no longer smoke or get drunk or steal or cuss. Now I reads the Bible. Now I pray. Now I go to church. But the change, and that's a nice Christian change. That's great. But the change that everybody noted with Paul is this guy was a destroyer.
Yeah.
Look at the wording. He was a destroyer. He persecuted people. He went at them to get at them. He was a crucifier, as it were. He had Stephen stoned, put to death. Consented so that they could do it. And he was that no more.
Amen.
No more. Well, okay, so what does that refer to? We could say, well, it speaks of a nature change. Okay, but if we say it like that, we have a tendency with our first birth theology seeping over into our Christian life to say it was a nature change. He changed from being that old mean person to being a good Christian. But the nature change was God in him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They glorified God in him, it says. See? You see that? That's clear. That is scriptural. That is clear cut. But this was the change. It was God in him. And he just said, verses up, God to reveal his son in me.
Yes.
He separated me from my first birth, not just reality, but way of thinking.
That's right.
To reveal his son in me that I might preach. The revealed son must be revealed in us. And it's the son, not just Jesus.
That's right. That's
not just Jesus of Nazareth, but the son being revealed in it. And so so that did happen to him, and they noted it, and they said, he's not a crucifier. He lays down his life and might even be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Cast down, but look at it, not forsaken. Persecuted, but not destroyed. Mm-hmm. All of that, Christ in him. All of that, true reality of this, and not just embracing the theology of such a teaching. Amen? Shame on us. We need, if we could start a fire right there and take our theology of Christ in us and throw it in there and just say, the Son. Father, reveal your Son. The wording is even better. You said, Father, my Son. You revealed.
Yeah.
I revealed my son
right.
in you.
Yes.
Then do it to us.
Thank
do
you.
It to us, yes. Father. And yes. Let us proudly throw the shame of our first birth theology that we drug into this and it's keeping us alive and calling us Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to burn all of that up. And we want it to be Christ in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we want you, Father, to get us to a place where it will not just be this event right now,
mm-hmm.
but that something will turn over in our heart,
yes,
that will
Lord.
Realize this is it. This is the hope of glory right here.
Yes.
And I'm not going to quit until this is formed in a real way, in these ways.
Yes.
And when I find myself persecuting or destroying, either by word or deed or thought,
yes, Lord,
I will hate it. And I will want you revealed further in me. Take more ground.
Yes.
Take more ground in, yes, in us, in your body, Jesus.
Yes.
And Holy Spirit, we need you to keep us stirred up, not just during this season that we're here gathered together in these days, but stirred up where we it churns in us. It churns in us, and regardless of how anyone else continues to be dull or passive or just okay with what they know, we will not settle into that.
That's right.
That's not our environment. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Father, is our environment.
Yes.
The one who wants to continually land on Jesus and not on us.
That's right.
This is beyond us. It is not of us.
Yes, Lord.
But we do believe. We believe. Help our unbelief.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Thank you.
We just want to thank you that you want us to be brought outside of ourselves, separated from always focusing on what we are doing, how we are failing, what's going on in our lives,
oh,
if
God,
we love the Lord enough, if we fail the Lord too much, if we've seen enough in the Word. Lord, we're so wrapped up in ourselves that we forget that we're meant to be wrapped up in the Father's heart by the Son who is in us. Lord, we leave the awe and the wonder and the glory and the eternity of all you birthed us into through Christ for this pig pen down here. We're in the pig pen. And the Father's weeping for his Son. He's crying. He's weeping. And we're so far down here, we can't hear it. So, Lord, we're beginning to turn our hearts, just like John did on the Isle of Patmos. We are turning away from ourselves in the earth unto what's going on in the Trinity, in the Father's heart, what's going on in the Holy Spirit's heart. Just like Nula, another minister sent as a witness from your heart, God, what's going on in the beginning, in eternity, in the Father and the Son.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we just want to take this time now. This is our time of prayer walk. This is our time of soaking and meditating and doing business with God in a real way.
Yes, Lord.
Where we want to set forth now in this hour of being with you. And if it takes longer, so be it. But Lord, we want to separate from this first birth. We want to separate from the pig pen of the earth. We want to separate from ourselves,
Lord,
to the beginning. To all that you've been crying out to us. And we want to listen, Lord. We've been dull. We've been sleeping in our hearts and going passive. We just want to shake that off by the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I'm waking myself up. I'm turning my heart. I'm coming. So, Father, just let the Holy Spirit be on each one now.